強いね。
And the podcast.
It is said that in the final days of Potter Who Guessed 2023, everyone had bad dreams. To the west of the north of that world, the listeners would gather in the celebration of no canine episodes until 2024. To banish the horrible memories of Sarah Jane Series 3. Each and every one of those people had dreamt of the depressingness of Children of Earth. And some of the terrible things to come, such as Taffany and the Time Loop and the Lost Library of Ukko and Robot Copper. But they forgot, because they must. Just as I forgot we did Series 4 this year, which I did too. They forgot their nightmares of robot dogs and Odd Bob the Clown and war and insanity. They forgot. Except for the time we do this one, because we're talking about a big one. And they remember this one because it's quite big. Hello. This is the end of time. But guess what? It's the end of time, but it's also one and two. It's parts one and two, so it's actually the end of two I'm and the end of one I'm. One I'm is me, and two I'm is you. And I'm gonna continue.
I thought you were building up to something.
I'm currently suffering from one of the strangest neurological things I've ever happened in my life.
Can I just say real quick, I have something I want to point out. When Donna begins to remember her adventures with the doctor, there's a flash of a Jadoon. She's never seen a Jadoon. So explain that.
I can explain to you. In series 4,
don't you dare say
12. The Stolen Earth, they go to the Shadow Proclamation.
Right, of course.
You are cancelled. You're cancelled. As if you'll be cancelled.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, the end of time, broadcast December 25th, 2009. This is actually going on December 25th, 2023. So, you know, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Blonde Master Day.
And happy New Year, because part two was January 1st, 2010. This is the end of the 2000s and the start of the 2010s.
Wow.
Speaking of wow, the length of this gist. So everyone on Earth.
Jesus Christ. Okay, go. Yeah. I want to hear this. Go.
Everyone on Earth keeps having bad visions and bad dreams of this laughing man and then forgetting that they've had those dreams except for one person, which is Wilfred Mott, who's informed by this mysterious lady who keeps popping up that things are in motion, which an omniscient narrator confirms. Meanwhile, the doctor has been avoiding Ood Sigma for a long time. He's been ghosting his text. He's been going everywhere that he won't be. But then he finally shows up to hear what's going on. Ood Brian Cox informs the doctor that he took too long and it might be too late to stop the nightmares they've been having.
Wait, that's Brian Cox? Because I literally had a note that said, this guy sounds like Brian Cox.
It is Brian Cox. We'll get to Ood Brian Cox later because I have an important question. Anyway, the Ood circular, like, here's what we've been seeing, and they show this vision of the Laughing Man, who the Doctor confirms is the Master, who's dead, obviously. Wilfred Mott sitting alone in a cafe, a politician and his daughter, who we learn are Joshua Naismith and his daughter, and then Lucy Saxon, and he learns that the ring, when he burned the Master, the ring fell off his hand, and a member of, it turns out that the Master had like a cult of like loyal followers, and they plan to resurrect his body with potions he left behind. But Lucy is like an anti-potion that she throws in as he's been resurrected, and it turns him it doesn't stop the process, but like it kind of messes up to a point where like he's completely lost the track of himself. He's just like hungry, and he's like physically unstable. He's turned into like a skeleton. Will finds a doctor as he's chasing the Master and tries to get him to restore Donna's memories, but the doctor's like, no, leave me alone. And Will's like, but doctor, she's getting married. And then he's like, no. And the Master's kidnapped by some black ops soldiers, and the doctor learns that Joshua Naismith kidnapped him. He's been doing some weird stuff. They go to Naismith's house. They find some aliens working undercover, and this alien machine called the Gate, which we heard about in The Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, when the Trickster was like, the Gate waits for you. And he's like, what? He's like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Doctor is that the Master finds he is a tool, basically turn the entire human race into himself, because it actually heals entire planets based on genetic makeup. Master does this, except Wilf is saved by being put into this little kind of gate of its own, like a little kind of nuclear thing, and Donna is somehow saved, but like even like Barack Obama is turned into the Master. We learned that the narrator is Rassilon, President of the Time Lords, who plans to use the Master to bring Gallifrey out of the Time War, blah 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 blah. Banking the Master, not only how desperate the High Council have become, and on the Master's desire to basically get the tribute of his head, they're going to use the Master to like bring them back. They want to become like beings of pure energy, like ungoverned by time or space or whatever. Wolf gives the Doctor a gun that he uses to basically threaten both sides of the argument of the Master and the Time Lords. He also sees a woman that Wolf has been talking to a lot, and she like gives him his look, and he's like, oh god. Anyway, he shoots the machine that has Time Lords and Gallifrey, which is after coming back. That's from the He Will Knock Four Times prophecy. He shoots the machine that basically sends him back, and the Master sacrifices himself to push the Timothy Dalton back into hell. And the Doctor's like, I survived! Oh my god, I survived! And Wilf, who's in the gate thing again, knocks four times on the glass door, and the Doctor kind of rants about having to like give his life up for Wilf, and he's like, oh, okay. And then he gives his life to Wilf. He's like irradiated himself, which triggers like a long process of regeneration, which allows him to see like, you know, Martha and Sarah Jane and Jack before he gives Donna a lottery ticket via Wolf and Sylvia. And he visits Rose at this in January 2005. Then he stumbles into his TARDIS and turns into Matt Smith, and he destroys the console room and he flies off. Whew.
Yeah, right. Weird, huh?
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with potions, or do you want to start
when
with,
I first saw this? When I first saw this, I thought it was cringe. This is the first time I'm watching this episode in maybe 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cringe.
Mm-hmm.
It's goat. It's goated with the sauce. It's got the riz.
Mm. It's got the ood riz.
The ood riz. I think it's so funny. I just think it's such a good episode. It's such an insane episode. It's so insane that like you have this entire master plot, and then it's like, yeah, and the Time Lords are back, and you're like, oh my god. But at no point do you go like, Jesus Christ, this is far too much. What is going on? It's so well balanced. It's so well acted. It's so well done.
Mm.
Here's the one thing I don't like about it.
Mm.
I think if I was Stephen Moffat, you know, we have the benefit of time, and we have the benefit of saying, And then Doctor Who went on to become even more popular. But if I was Stephen Moffat and RTD handed me this, I would have looked at him and said, like, damn, bro, save some for the rest of us. It feels like this is like, this is the last episode of Doctor Who ever. And it's like, but it's not. The whole time they're like, oh, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. No, this is it. This is the end. This is the, oh, this is over. It's all over. I got to say goodbye to everybody because it's over. It's like, oh, but you're regenerating into Matt Smith in like 10 minutes. That's why that moment where the Ood goes like, this song is ending, but the story never ends. It felt kind of like tacked on, as if they were like, oh, this, we're making this too final. And I feel like that's why we have people who are still like, oh, you know, I never got over David Tennant going away. You know, I feel like this is kind of like a, it's great, it's good, I love it, I have a great time with it, but simultaneously I'm like, I don't know, guys, it does feel like this is such a final bit, like a finality of it. And there is the in-universe reason of he thinks this is the last time he'll regenerate, which is why he goes and sees everybody. But nobody will fucking remember that, guys. Like, nobody cares. Nobody's going to remember that. So it's like, on one hand, I'm like, it's very in character for this, the most selfish doctor of all time, to be like, oh, I'm going to make this a whole fucking deal. To the point that I hope that when he got into that Guardians of the Edge thing, that the Sixth Doctor just gave him a noogie, like, shut up. Oh my God, you are so... But at the same time, like, from the perspective of the show as a whole, it really does feel like RTD was like, and now I'm closing the book on all of Doctor Who. And Stephen Moffat was like, but I'm about to, and all of Doctor Who is now over, but I'm gonna, it is over. Let us see everyone we ever saw before because they're never gonna come back again. And it's like, what? I don't know. Did you feel like that too, or is it just me?
I mean, there is a different sense of like it being a finale, and it does feel like, you know, I think part of that does come from the fact that most of the stuff was like created by him or written by him. So like him returning to like, you know, all the stuff he'd done, all his work, does make it feel like, you know, the end. But like that's mostly just a byproduct of it being him indulging his own, like, you know, universe,
victory lap.
I guess. Yeah.
It just feel like it, like you, it, when it's just Martha and Mickey, and you're like, okay, he's saying goodbye to the companions, and then it's Sarah Jane. It's like, all right, I guess we can make the argument that Sarah Jane came back with the 10th, but really, the person doing this should be the 4th. Like, I don't know. And then it's like Captain Jack, and you're like, okay, I guess, all right, that kind of works, makes sense. And then he goes to see the daughter of the nurse. Showing he still hasn't gotten over it. Like, straight up the most simpiest man in the world. And then you get to Rose. I think Rose is the one that kind of tips it over for me. Because him going back to see Rose and saying, you're going to have a great year. 2005, it really does feel like, and that's the end of Doctor Who. You know? It really does feel like, let's bring it up. We brought it all full circle. And it's not. It's really not. But... I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much as I might make it sound like it is, because ultimately it is just a meta complaint. Like, this has more to do with the production side of things bleeding over into the story side of things. So, but overall, it's like, yeah, it's great. I just wish it wasn't so much so like, and Doctor Who is over.
I will say I do really, really love that Rose bit. The bit I really love as well is that like Liz Sladen like sells the idea that she knows what's going on like so well in the Luke and Sarah bit. You know, when she like sees them and she like, you can see on her face that she instantly knows, okay, you're like, this is the end for this one.
Yeah.
I do think like having the context of why Jack is alone and why he looks so sad, that scene is like kind of funny.
Oh, right, yeah.
But knowing that he's there because like, he's after like killing his grandson and what's happened to the Earth, and the doctor's like, what if you got laid? and then that scene plays out. I do like it. Oh. I do like it. I'm not as. I think I part something about part two just doesn't sit with me for some reason. I think it's just because it's so, like, you know, it's such a buildup of ideas. Like, I kind of think it's a bit whatever. I'm gonna go through like specific parts of this. Brian Cox Ood, do you think that Ood says fuck off to people as well?
Oh my god.
Do you see that picture? Of Brian Cox on, I think it was the Tonight Show, where he's like wearing
I aspire to that level of that man is like, I've done it. I've had my HBO show and I'm done. Every time, the thing that's weird is, like, I had seen Brian Cox before Succession, but it hadn't registered to me that it was Brian Cox. Like, he's in an adventure in space and time. But it had never registered to me, like, oh, this is Brian Cox. It's not until after Succession that now whenever I watch something, it's just like, that's Brian Cox. Like, he's in a lot. He's in Zodiac. And I was like, huh, there you go. Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. Voicing Ood. I do like that. I do like that. It's like an extension of what happened in Wars of Mars. That, like, because 10 is, like, you know, so like worried or whatever, that he's made so he makes it so much worse by the fact that he won't show up to the Ood Sphere. Especially when Ood Sigma was like, you know, come on, mate, you know, you're taking your fucking time here. Okay, the Cult of Saxon is such a, I love the idea. I think it's such a funny idea that there's a secret cult. I mean, funny in a good way. It's been a secret cult this entire time, because, like, today that would be a Facebook group rather than a you know, it'll be like the Cult of Saxon would be like QAnon today rather than being, like, you know, a secret thing. It reminded me of when I like Nadine Dorries, the politician, wrote a book about Boris Johnson recently because she loves Boris Johnson, and all the chapters were named after James Bond films, which I thought was quite funny.
Why would you tell me that? Why would I'm you trying... share that information with me? Do you think I want to know these things?
Well,
I was happy. I was happy until 5 seconds ago.
Did you hear that?
Wow.
I swear I heard a woman talking. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, before we go on with this episode, I just want to tell you. So this, I think it's an Australian newspaper, put out a Doctor Who A to Z for to celebrate the 60th. So I want you to guess, what do you think A is for?
Absorbiloff.
It is. B is for Billy. C is for cool. Because Massive said bow ties are cool. D is for daughter. E is for exterminate. F is for female. G is for guest. H is for Hartnell. I is for ire. What the fuck? Six people complained to Ofcom when a 2014 episode had two females of a different species kissing. J is for Jack. Okay. K is for canine. L is for lass. What?
Is it canine?
Canine, yeah. M is for monster. N is for neckwear. O is for one off, as in Paul McGann's solo appearance to the Eighth Doctor. P is for Patrick. Q is for quirky. And then their citation is Peter Capaldi boarded the TARDIS between 2014 and 2017. He was quirky. R is for regeneration. S is for Suntaran. T is for TARDIS. U is for Colin Baker played the character between 1984 to 1986. What the? V is for veto. What? Benedict Cumberbatch and Hugh Grant both turned down the chance to play the Doctor. No, that is not didn't. A veto.
And that's not true. All,
yeah. W is for Wurzel. And that doesn't even have anything to do with Doctor. X is for X-rated. Famed for its saucy sex scenes, new Dr. Gawa is best known for Netflix hit Sex Education. Y is for yikes. Weird aliens have included the Candyman. And the Adipose. And the Yeti. Okay. And Z is for zany.
Wow. Was like, I don't even know. Speaking of zany and quirky. And
what do you think of what I think of the Master? Is that what you're gonna say?
Yeah. Let's talk. Let's talk.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Can I put down a bold claim? Top three Master performances of all time. Up there anyway. John Sim and these two. I like when he says spectacular. And
I want a video of just have you seen the discombobulate videos? I'm gonna do two videos out of like that one. I want one where it's just every shot of him gnawing at that food, mm-hmm. and every time they try to talk, he keeps gnawing at it. And also, I want one of the scene at the end where Tennant is spinning around with the fucking gun and going chuk 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 chuk.
Why is he reloads the gun every single time he turns around? Like it.
It's so funny. But I like him. I think it's because. Mm-hmm. I think it's because they specifically are like, he is nutso. Mm-hmm. In this one, he is cuckoo crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. That's all right. He's acting a little bit more outrageously because that is what he's supposed to be acting like at the moment. Mm-hmm. He's lost control. I think it works. And I think the thing that really makes it work for me is that his plot is generally terrifying. I am so scared of hive minds. I think that's such a scary thing. And so the scene at the end where, like, everyone turns into him, it's he makes it funny with, like, waving at everybody and throwing hats around. There's a shot where one master throws a hat back and then another master in the background picks it up. And I was like, for 2009, that is really fucking impressive. For 2009 on a BBC budget. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But he managed to make it funny without ever ruining the underlying terror per se, but underneath I think this is top. I think his best performance as the Master is yet to come, because I just think that one is him doing, you know, Delgado and Ainley. Well, more Delgado than Ainley. I really think that the thing that for me is when I was a kid, when I was younger and watching these episodes, I was like, well, but I've seen like one thing of the Master, you know, and I know that he's not supposed to act all this crazy. But when you watch Ainley and it's like, it kind of is. That's kind of his vibe. It's Delgado, the one that's like, oh, I'm a dapper kind of cool guy. I mean, there's a reason why they named him his incarnation. Apparently is named the Charming Master. So it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But you'd never see Anthony Ainley devouring a burger and then yelling "dinner time."
And I could see Anthony Ainley doing it.
He should have. To be honest with you, he should have. He also should have said "it's real" and then flew off with lightning. People make fun of the lightning, but the lightning to me makes sense.
I don't like the dog.
It makes sense. Like if you write with the idea that like he got so messed up during the potion thing that like his biology got changed a little bit, it kind of makes sense. I think it's a good way with the thing, like, you know, he keeps turning to a skeleton like briefly. It's a good way of doing like the old fashioned like the cane stuff like they used to do with like Jeffrey Beavers and stuff, you know? It's a good way of doing like the kind of, you know, his thing. One of the funniest scenes of all time is when he's like, you know, he freaks out the two guys by saying like, oh yeah, I am actually.
And he flies towards the camera and.
Yeah. he turns into a skeleton, but also the fact that like they run back to the van and you get that one like quick zoom in of the two skeletons that are like still yelling.
Yes.
That is such, such
a I need to confirm this, but I am pretty sure that shot is in the back of the complete David Tennant years. By the way, fucking misnomer, right? Oh my god, I just remembered that I pre-ordered that Doctor Who series 1 to 13
mm-hmm.
Blu-ray, so it should be coming over anytime now, and I don't have any space in my thing, so that's going to be fun.
Throw out some stuff.
Yeah, so let me just check real quick. Hold on, this is exciting podcasting. Okay, so it's not a he's not, hold on a second, work is so he's not flying towards the camera, but he is halfway through turning into a skeleton.
Well, it's just, it's a thought that counts. I do think, because I know people complain about this, I think I'm gonna be a bit mean. I think if you complain about the way the Master is presented in like series 12 and Power of the Doctor, then you can't condone the way the Master is in this, because like Dewan's performance feels a lot like, you know,
you got a point down. Yeah,
it feels a bit like a toned down version of like of this kind of mode.
I just don't get people who complain about Dewan's Master. I just don't. They're like, oh, he's so over the top and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and who gives a shit? and your point is, like, are you really so angry about fucking, like, the Master? Like, come on, guys. Missy was introduced with, like, singing, hey, Missy, you're so fine. Remember that scene where, this is coming out, but I can't wait to talk about it. Remember that scene where Missy's head comes out of a computer? She goes, mm-hmm. I'm widescreen. and the music goes, boing. Like, mm-hmm. Come on. Let's chill a little bit. By the way, did you know that one of the original ideas for this episode was for the Doctor and the Master to switch bodies?
I didn't, but you know, that'll never happen.
Think it's so. I just want to imagine like that scene from Back to the Future where it's a guy going, "Hey, Chris, it's me, it's your cousin, Marvin Chibnall. You know that finale idea you're looking for? Well, listen, do this."
If we want to talk about like
I just want to say I love that scene so much because who the hell introduces themselves like, you know, your cousin, my name, last name. I just thought nobody ever talks like that. It's such a good scene though, it's so funny.
It's the same performance kind of thing. You can't really one the other. Speaking of performances, there is one I want to touch on, but quickly, it's so crazy that Obama is in this.
But yes. Also,
the sound clip they use is like they play the sound clip in a way where like it doesn't match up with like any of the things around it. It's I don't know. It's just so crazy. It's Obama.
Like yes, but also this—that's how you know this was written in 2018. Cut that. Let me do that again. This is how you know this was written in 2008. This is how you know it was written in 2008 because they're like, he's gonna fix the recession, the big economic plan, and it's like, guys, come on. But I think it's so cute. It's cute. It's mm-hmm. very it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute little moment, and I feel and I hope he watched it, and I hope he was like, oh, Michelle. Let me be master. Do you think they ever had a conversation about whether or not John Sim should be? You know what?
No, I know where you're going.
See, Because the thing is, when he's president, he kind of has an American accent.
Mm-hmm.
But then it cuts to him as like the Chinese leader. And I'm like,
yeah.
I froze up like, oh no. Yeah. Oh no. And then he just, I'm like, we dodged that bullet.
Yeah. Speaking of dodging bullets, someone who dodges bullets a lot is James Bond. And Timothy Dalton is James Bond. Yeah. He's spitting. He spits a lot.
Well, they know how to use, it's a really good use of Dalton, even though if you think about it, he mostly just walks down corridors and stands in one location.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, it's kind of the same reason you would get like, Brian Blessed, because he has a really good voice and he can make standing still look very, very, you know, entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he does that thing like 4 or 5 times in that one scene where he puts his hand out to like change stuff.
Yeah.
Wearing the resurrection gauntlet glove from Torchwood. He's good. He's good, I think.
He's really good. I think out of all the, I feel like, you know, I have a contentious relationship with the Time Lords because my only knowledge of the Time Lords is from the new series. I have yet to watch a lot of the old series. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the Time Lords are alternatively like a threat or just kind of there. It does really feel like nobody knows what to do with the Time Lords. Not even Moffat kind of knows what to do with the Time Lords.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the best thing that came out of the new series with the Time Lords was Hellbent or Heaven Sent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing that came out of using the Time Lords as a plot device. But otherwise, again, that's why I'm like, I don't really care that the Time Lords all died again in series 12, because they really don't do much for me. They just kind of exist. They're kind of a plot point. This is their most threatening, and I feel like unless you bring them back, it does feel like the Time War is like, you have kind of quote unquote ruined them, you know? Mm-hmm. They're now evil. And every time you bring them back, you have to contend with that fact. And it's like, I feel like they don't want to. And they shouldn't, because it's kind of a boring thing for you to worry about. You know? Like, it's kind of like, you got better things to do. But yeah.
Yeah.
He's good in this.
He's good in this. Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
He's good in this. I also like the lady that says, I think we're doing a bad thing. And he goes, wrong opinion. dissects her.
Yeah, you're canceled.
I never noticed that they had the bit with comparing them to the Weeping Angels.
Mm-hmm.
With the ones that are like covering their faces. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think overall, you know, I'm like, overall, this is a really fun use of the Daleks. I feel like a very fun use of the Time Lords. And you know, if you had to get Timothy Dalton for something, I'm glad it was for this.
Mm-hmm. Three things. One, did you know that at one point, they were going to have it be like the Daleks and the Time Lords had teamed up, and that they were going to do that instead of just having it be Time Lords, which I think is a better option, just doing Time Lords and having Daleks too. Another thing is that it's interesting that the next 2 times we see Time Lords, it's like directly related to this, because Day the Doctor, like they reference like in this, like the Doctor has the moment, which is what we see in Day the Doctor, and like the next time we see, and after in series 9, they were gonna get Dalton back, but he was too busy for series 9, so they got Erasmus Tarkin instead to play Rathalon, but like,
oh my god, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He doesn't say, you disappoint me, Sarah Jane Smith. He just does his thing.
You disappoint me, Peter Capaldi.
Wilfred Wolf Mott makes me cry in this.
He's really good.
He's really good. It's like the two scenes, like the the scene in the cafe and the scene when they're in this spaceship. Cribbins makes me cry in both of those so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he knocks four times, you're like, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
It was him all along. And it's such a good...
Go ahead. You go ahead.
It's such a good use of he will knock four times. Because you're caught... Because by the time that it happens, you've been reminded of it, but you've also forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Really good. When he's like, you're a great man. I don't want you to die. Please don't die. I start crying. I do like how you get like the kind of residual afterburns of Warriors of Mars with not only like him wasting time before actually showing up, but also with that like final speech. Now he's like, I could have been so much more, you know, blah, 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 blah. I really love that like they really lean into him, like, you know, finally accepting that like he has to go. He can't escape, like pushing away. He can't keep just doing stuff. That he knows that like he's fucked up. Like even in the cafe where he's like, you know, I've really messed up. Like I can't, you know.
I've lived too long.
Yeah.
And then it comes back with when he has that whole speech where he's kind of like, but I'm great. I'm awesome. Like, you're nothing. And Wilf is like, yeah, definitely. Leave me behind. I don't care. I've lived enough. Mm-hmm. But then that he's like, oh, I have lived too long. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. I just crossed the line and now I got to die. This version of me has to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I feel like there's a comic called the Four Doctors, which is like a 10, 11, and 12 comic.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back to this as like the moment that if the Doctor had let Wilf die, he would have become, quote unquote, the Time Lord victorious.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, yeah, this is like, this is such a, so effectively framed as... This is it. By saying, I could do so much more, why can't I survive? You have crossed the line. And that's it. And now you gotta die.
Yeah, you gotta die. I laughed a lot when they go back to his house briefly and Sylvia sees them. And they have that exchange where it's like, you know, you can't be here. Merry Christmas. You too. You gotta get out of here, but Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's really good.
What else? Joshua Naismith, Martian Manhunter from
David Harewood.
I think he's good, even though he doesn't really get much to do beyond, you know, drink wine or champagne, sorry, on a throne and laugh about things. Can you hear that?
Hear what?
I keep thinking I'm hearing something. I'm like Poirot in hit film Haunting Venice.
Great movie.
Shimmer. Oh Lord, she's a cactus. Those guys are hanging around. They look like cactuses. Or cacti. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's racist. God damn it, guys! I actually laughed at that one. The cactus. That's cacti. That's racist.
Racist. Yeah, I don't know. Like. One of the things that came to me as well is that if this didn't happen, and I we're saying this before the Star Beast has happened, we haven't seen Star Beast. It's not. Yes, it'll be out a month by the time you hear this, but it hasn't come out for us yet.
It hasn't. You know what has just come out to us?
Wow.
The amazing news that I actually really love this. Tubi has every single classic Doctor Who story, which, I mean, isn't that fucking perfect? Isn't that beautiful for everything to end up in Tubi? That's, you know what? That's why I'm like, that's why I love Doctor Who. Even at its peak, even at its like most popular, it still manages to be weird. Like, like they have a Disney deal, and you can, and they were like, "Great, we have a Disney deal. It's time for us to go corporate." But somewhere in the back of their head, there's like a little four beat going, "Give it to Tubi, give it to Tubi, give it to Tubi." I love that, man. This fucking show. I think it's a really missed opportunity to have not have the part two intro say David Tennant and John Sim and John Sim and John Sim.
I just keep saying his name, even like when the episode starts, it's still saying and John Sim. Going back to Sim, there's that one moment where it's when they're doing the interrogation bit where he's strapped up and Wilf is on the chair and John Sims being why is your phone ringing when everyone else is me and stuff like that, and he rolls his neck and cracks his neck.
Oh yeah, I love that scene too.
But the way he does it's so crazy. It's such a great physical thing. That scene's good. We have to talk about this whole phenomenon that it's kind of died out, but it was born from the comic book guy. Worst episode ever thing that they reference in here. That's a thing that's died out completely. That used to be so prevalent in
they reference it everything. Here? When?
Yeah. The doctor's worst rescue ever. And he's going on the stairs and he's still strapped up.
Oh, that's a reference? Okay, I guess.
With him tied into his little thing, his knees are up. He looks in pain. I don't know. One thing okay. I want to get one word answers on how you feel about each of these things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. Whew. Martha and Mickey.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. That is, it feels, we'll go back to that, we'll come back because I'm going to go through the other ones as well. The Luke and Sarah Jane scene.
Meh.
Jack and Alonzo.
Good.
Verhey Newman.
Okay.
And I guess the Sylvia and Wilf thing with Wiedek. I went back and got
great.
Fantastic. The way their faces change, when he's Jeff Noble, his name was, and you can see them both start crying. It's making me cry right now thinking of it. Make me cry for different reasons. Martha and Mickey is just, it feels like such a weird whiff. It feels like such a weird idea.
It's why? They never shared anything before.
They have one scene. They don't even have a scene together at the end of... Well, they have one scene when they're flying the fucking thing in Journey's End. And, that's it. There's no other, there's no... why is that a thing that you spring for? Because the other thing that comes up again is that Ninth Doctor comic where she turns into a gargoyle and Nick is you gotta help us, Martha is a gargoyle, and the Ninth Doctor's who's Martha, and Nick is she's my wife, and Doctor's oh, she's a gargoyle, okay. Really weird little arc they did there. I know the Verhey Newman thing's a bit a hat in the hat. I don't know, but I do like that last bit where he's she's was she
are you happy?
Yeah, yeah. Are you happy? And he's I don't know. We now know that Luke was fresh off the rackweed, so he's still a bit he's still figuring things out.
He didn't turn into the Master then.
He wouldn't have because he wasn't human, was he?
Because he wasn't human. So yeah. Was it just Sarah Jane?
Sarah Jane, Rani, Clyde. Rani's Geehan Harish. That must have been really freaky. Especially for him. All his friends are this one guy.
Did the Brigadier turn into the Master?
The Brigadier turned, yeah. Mark Grantham that turned into him. I don't know. Gwen Cooper would turn into him.
Oh my god, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that.
Billis Manger probably would have. Actually, I've listened to the Bilis and Warmaster thing, and the way it's great. I think the one specific one, the way they mm-hmm. Recontextualized who Bilis is really good in it.
Yeah.
I got really excited after finishing, being like, "Oh, it'll be really great if he comes back." And I realized that it was the last same. They were like, "This is the last same Murray recorded with us before he died."
Aww. So
there'll be no more. It's sad. The sound is tangible. What is he saying? He says like, the sound is tangible. Someone could only have designed this, but who?
Yeah.
It's.
I wonder who.
It's so. Like operatic at times, I think is a way to describe it. It's so like, you know, it's so kind of, it's crazy, but it's crazy in a good way.
Yeah. That's the thing that he's really good at that I like mm-hmm. is that he's so like, it's big and it goes mm-hmm. big. And the fact that it goes big makes it more emotional. It makes it feel more real. I like it when Doctor Who goes small, but I also like it when it goes big because mm-hmm. there's no other show on Earth that can do that. You know, I feel like, I mean, I would say like Star Trek can do it, but Star Trek, you can't have one week a Waters or Mars and the others an End of Time. You know, they still need to like balance it all out. It really feels like Doctor Who is the only show that can do that. Because at its core, it is a very empathic show. This is one of the most empathic stories of the entire revival era, because it is basically like we're just watching a man come to grips with the idea that he's going to die, which mm-hmm. we all are. We all are eventually going to die. We're all going to go through this process one way or another. But he literally has to, like, that's also goes back to the thing I mentioned at the start about this being kind of like a book closing thing. The way he talks about regeneration, where it's like, I die and another man saunters away. It's like, yeah, it is the same person, but also it's not. Mm-hmm. It is not. So that it must be a very traumatizing thing to experience. And I feel like, and again, I know I complained about this at the start, but that's the thing that this episode does so well, which is really makes us understand that like regeneration, it means the show is changing. But it also means that a part of the show and a part of our lives is dying and it's over. Do I think that it is diminished slightly by the fact that he's coming back for three episodes? Kinda. I think the finality of it, and I think I trust RTD will address this. I mean, you guys will have seen those episodes, so we don't know what it's going to be like. But I feel like one of the great things about the regeneration process is that it introduces a finality to things, and so every story we have with these characters becomes a little bit more special. You know.
I do like that. On that note, that I do wonder if this hadn't happened, and if Star Beast happens, does Donna's mental protection kick in then as well? That's like a if my aunt had a will to be a bike kind of question.
It would be really funny if at the start of Star Beast she sees the Meep and her defense activates and the Meep dies, and then the doctor's like, "Oh well, I can't get Donna." And actually, the true companion was Verity Newman all this time. they just filmed scenes with Catherine Tate to trick you.
Going back to like really early stuff. Just a couple of grab bag things I liked. The Silver Cloak would be like a good spin-off, I think. You used to be like old people going around, you know, like Cocoon meets X-Files. That's my pitch. Just do like a Silver Cloak show, you know, old people are finding aliens. They're having fun, they're dancing around. The footage that David Harrow watches of the footage that David Harrow watches of like a JPEG or PNG of John Sim like running across a fire, maybe laugh a lot. The 144p footage, because it looks so like, I don't know what it is about it. It looks so funny. He locks the thing like a car, and he says, "Like a car." That's like a delivery. The thing I love, it's something I love a lot, is when they do like unspoken stories,
mm-hmm.
And, when he mentions like the king, the could have been king and his army of.
I have it written down here. The could have been king, this army of what's it? Hang on, I gotta scroll down.
Neverwares and might have been.
Yeah, the Scar of Degradations, the Horde of Travesties, the Nightmare Child. All this great stuff. There's also the thing at the start where Wolf goes into the church and there's like a stained glass window with the little TARDIS.
The little blue box.
Yeah.
And the woman shows up. The woman who I like to think is the doctor's father.
Boom, boom, boom. Da, da,
da. And then she regenerated.
I know like everyone was like, oh, she's Susan. Oh, she's his mother. I wonder if anyone's ever like been like, well, it's Tech Teun, but also he wouldn't know who that is. So,
I like to think it's let's just throw the dartboard and took. I like to think it's the curator. There we go.
I like to think it's.
You know, I really think it is.
You know, I really think it might.
I'm going to shoot the master. I really think you might.
I don't know. I think it's exciting, you know? We got, sorry, I keep hearing this thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's this voice that keeps...
I don't know. Well, you're so insane. You are almost as insane as the mood switch when David Tennant regenerates into Matt Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Literally like a bang. It's like, Jesus Christ, guys.
that song never came back, that one bit of music. Speaking of music, Valley de Chem and Valley.
Oh, yeah. The chorus version of the 10th Doctor's theme.
Mm-hmm.
That's such good. So good.
Yeah, but go back to music. The bum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum. Very weird choice, as you're saying. We'll get on to Matt Smith next year. I don't know. I'm.
I think good. The last thing I would say about this is I hope they do a novelization, and I hope it is 800 pages long.
I was going to say this is one that like really feels like it would benefit from a novelization.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be by him, but I assume he would.
Why not?
Because
he's busy.
He's got like 300.
Right, of course. What's he doing right now? He's not doing anything. Oh, right, of course. That was genuine. I actually forgot for a sec. What's he doing right now? He's not busy.
We should talk about that as well. That like this was until recently his last hurrah.
No, his last hurrah was whatchamacallit? Miracle Day.
Yeah, but like his last real.
I know, I'm joking. His
last good hurrah. I don't know. It really did feel like this was it. Obviously, until that one day where it was like, oh, by the way, he's back.
John Jameson, he's back. I think I have, again, we have not seen the three specials.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only have hope. And my hope is that it's not just remember the Doctor and Donna and more like an actual new story. Mm-hmm. What's doing different things. I don't feel like he would be the kind of person who would just go, remember when the Doctor and the Donna were together? Mm-hmm. I think he would do more. But I have been proved wrong before, so.
I think there will be an aspect of remember when, but I think the remember when will be like, you know, part of the mystery of why is it this again, rather than being like the whole point is remember when.
I just want to say we can say this because we were nowhere near the specials have already played.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that whole like split regeneration thing is not true because we already have one extra Tennant. Mm-hmm. Let's stop making more Tennants. I think David Tennant should. I think David Tennant he should get people should clap as he leaves the set. And he goes like, oh, I can come back in 10 years. And they were like, yeah, of course you can, buddy. Of course you can. Get into this van real quick. We're just going to send you somewhere else for a couple of years, and then we'll talk about it. Like, I love the guy, but he really needs to stop coming back. It's if in 10 years it's like David Tennant is back, it's like, of course. It's like, oh, what a surprise. Although, you know what? I take it all back. If I was him, I'd also keep coming back because it legitimately seems like a fun gig.
Mm-hmm. Although there is a certain bald individual who's probably watching from the shadows whenever he says he's leaving and then follows him to his car and says, look, I know you're leaving, but if you want to do this again, we got a studio.
You could do it from your home. You could do it from your home. You don't even have to leave your home.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just cover the walls with fucking
duvets
and we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got to meet Winston Churchill and anyone else we decided to meet.
They can't do that anymore. Remember?
No. The thing is, they removed all those tweets because apparently Big Finish told them like this is libel, and if you keep these up, we might be able to sue you, so take them down.
I don't believe that anymore then. I think there's something weird about that.
I think what has likely happened is because they're ending so many range. There's like so many series that are ending at the moment. Like they've ended the River one, they've ended the Bernie Summerfield one, they've ended like that they're winding down the War Doctor stuff. I think what's likely going to happen is that they're going to just relaunch some stuff, and it's going to be like more contained. It'll be more contained than like crossover heavy, I think.
Honestly, if I was Big Finish, the thing I would do is I would, when series 14 starts, or should I say series one. I hate that again. when that starts, they should just relaunch everything, you know, like, oh, you don't need to listen to all that stuff to get into it, but actually you should listen to all that stuff. Listen to all of it.
It's like a promo they around me like, we're brand new, and then like there's like some subliminal messaging from Briggs being like buy the robots, buy the Paternoster again,
buy stories from Peladon. Buy stories from Peladon.
Peladon. I don't know.
I'm excited. Hey guys, let's go. Let's get into you know what I'm excited for with the next era? What? There's some directors coming up that I really like. Mm-hmm. One in particular. And I think we might have a message from her. Play the message.
Boop.
Hello, Michelle. Hello, David or David. And all that's a mouthful. Podder Who casters. And it's Rachel Talalay, director of Stephen Moffat's last three finales and the Christmas special Twice Upon a Time. And I hear you're about to enter the fish fingers and custard era of your podcast. So I hope that is a joyful thing. I think obviously I have quite a good deal of affection for that time period, as you can see from my artwork. I'll give you a little display here of that, and across to some of my favorite posters from Stuart Manning. I want you to know how excited I am that you get to move on to this era, and I hope that you reach into your two hearts and find the best parts of it, and if possible, always quote Stephen Moffat when in doubt. But I hear that you are buying into the conspiracy theory that Beep the Meep is not real. And I'm here to tell you that that's what we want you to believe, but it is a very carefully connived, put together conspiracy theory to make you not realize that Beep the Meep really is real. Thank you very much.
That's who I was hearing the entire time. Oh,
wow.
It was foreshadowing. What happened is I actually realized I live above a rift and I see into the future sometimes.
Of course. Happens to the best of us.
It does. Is there any point to say next time? Because it's going to be a couple of months. I will. Look,
I think instead of next time, we should say next year.
Next year.
Right, what's going on here? What business is it of yours? It's totally my business. Anything happens to the prof, and I'm out of a job.
What a humanitarian.
Well, hello. Introductions are in order. Darius Pike, personal assistant and supplier of ordered goods.
A delivery boy, no less. Georgie, stop.
Don't use real names.
Okay, then. Stark reality.
Hey. You okay, Prof?
I almost had them back.
Hey, I'm sorry, Prof. How can I make this up to you?
Make this up to me? You have no idea what you've cost me.
So this was a good idea, was it? They were leaving.
Leaving is good. Never coming back is better.
Come on, then! The doctor will see you now!
This world.
No, but I've put a lot of work into it. I don't know. What do you think?
Is this world important?
Important? What's that mean, important? 6 billion people live here. Is that important? Here's a better question. Is this world a threat to the Atraxi? Well, come on, you're monitoring the whole planet. Is this world a threat?
No.
Are the peoples of this world guilty of any crime by the laws of the Atraxi?
No.
Okay. One more, just one. Is this world protected? Because you're not the first lot to have come here. Oh, there have been so many. And what you've got to ask is... what happened to them? Hello. I'm the Doctor. Basically, run.
Did it hurt?
No.
I mean the regeneration. That last body of yours. Was he okay in the end?
It always hurts, and there.
So how did you end up in this place?
The Shanshi's lured me. A mighty old battlefield just begging to be explored. Because I'm travelling with Amy now, and Rory. They got married, so I dropped them off at a honeymoon planet, which isn't what you'd think. It's not a planet for a honeymoon, it's a planet on a honeymoon. It married an asteroid. Then they nicked the TARDIS. The Shanshi, not Amy, and, fortunately, I had all this wreckage to build the space-swapping doodah thingy, what's it?
So you've got a married couple in the TARDIS?
Mr. and Mrs. Pom.
I only left you because I got married.
And,
did you think I was stupid?
Why'd you say that?
Well, it was a bit dumb. Still am, I suppose.
Now, what in the world would make you think that ever, ever, ever?
And maybe Torchwood, it depends on when we record 11 straight weeks of K9. Wow, that's a lot of K9.
And the clip of Matt Smith going like, whoa.
You should put a little bit of Smasity going, whoa, and then a little bit of Torchwood going, nobody can die, and then a little bit of K9 going, K9!
Too slow, Robo Fuzz. But yeah, I mean...
Are we done?
We're done. We're done for the year. Thank you. It's really weird.
What?
Two years ago, we started.
I was thinking about that too. Yeah, because I was looking back at my calendar and I saw Potter Who Cast record a first episode like February 2021.
Do you remember that? That was a whole ordeal because my mic wasn't working, and then
also we all still had COVID, no vaccines.
We had no structure. So we were doing like a half. We were going to the plot, and then we lost like half the thing after record because of some glitch. We still had the five key points. We still had the next time where instead of a clip, it was three things from the episode. We still had
according to my calculations.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty sure that the first episode we recorded is Empty Child Doctor Dances.
It is. And it was
on the 23rd of January of 2021.
Yeah.
Two months after Doctor Who's anniversary. Talk about timing.
Talk about timing. Talk like that, like we did that, and then we did Rose after that, which is when the structure came in. It's been 2 years of this, and now it's gonna be hopefully
six more years.
By the time we get to the 60th stuff, it'll be
the 80th. Oh my god, don't even joke.
What we could do is every canine could be like one minute long.
I have a better idea. Let's just not do canine.
We're doing canine. We've done one. We gotta do the rest. If we do canine, then we can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by anything, we mean, of course, I'm thinking of some annoying spinoff. The BBV spinoffs.
If we do the BBV spinoffs, we are you gotta monetize us for doing BBV. I'm not watching The Stranger again. Or actually, we should do The Stranger.
No, it's over. Let's go. We can't. Goodbye, everybody. Our thanks to Rachel Talalay. Have a great new year, everybody. Leave. Mm-hmm. I gotta go before we decide to do fucking BBV porn. Oh my god, no.
We do the Auton trilogy. That's
no, like, no, for the love of God.
They're half an hour long each.
I don't want to do it. Nicholas already hate Nicholas Briggs directs.